Welcome back to a Beast Game podcast. Today we're
with a little bit more enthusiasm. Just go ahead, James.
Oh man.
All right, okay. I'm sorry, man. God damn it, man.
Damn. Oh man.
All right, here we go. Welcome to a Beast Gang podcast. Today we're reviewing Solo. Solo is directed by Ron Howard, written by John and Lawrence Kasdan. It stars Aiden Ehrenreich, Woody Harrelson, and Emilia Clarke. Synopsis: during an adventure into the criminal underworld, Han Solo meets his future co-pilot, Chewbacca, and encounters Lando Calrissian years before joining the rebellion. So, Barry, what do you have to say about Solo?
This movie is bland. It's not terrible. It's just incredibly mediocre. Mm-hmm. And nothing about this movie seems like Star Wars. And when I really thought about it, I've seen this movie before. And I couldn't put my finger on it until it dawned on me is that all this is Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, my God.
With a plot wrapped in the Star Wars story.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so all it is just Pirates of the Caribbean. All the big players are there. Han Solo is Will Turner. Emilia Clarke is Miss Elizabeth Swan. Woody Harrelson is Jack Sparrow. Just a little bit more confident. Chewie's Mr. Gibbs. Lando is Barbossa. Paul Bettany is Commander Norrington. They're all on a hunt to recover treasure in the Black Peril, a.k.a. the Millennium Falcon, which the lead character had to win back to save their lives because one character owes a debt. And then on top of that, the rest of the plot elements are taken straight from Guardians of the Galaxy. Mm-mm-mm. The lead character embodies nothing that made Han Solo special. Han Solo is one of the greatest anti-heroes in movie history. And you get a nobody actor to play this person. He doesn't have the charisma. He doesn't have the line delivery. The writing's not there. He's a lesser version of Chris Pratt and a recycled Poe Dameron. It feels like all the actors and actresses are cosplaying. The movie makes Rogue One seem great because this is just a generic sci-fi movie. The heist is uninspired. There's lackluster dialogue. The CG is just passable. I'm going to say some positives.
God damn, really? Where?
All right. Shit. So the Chewie reveal was okay. Donald Glover works. Woody Harrelson is decent, though some of his elements and his storyline played off of Benicio Del Toro's character from The Last Jedi, and there was a Tarkovsky reference. But everything about this movie is Disney force-feeding you Star Wars when they said, hey, we have determined that it is now time for you to have another Star Wars movie. Next year, you'll have another Star Wars movie. The year after that, you have another Star Wars movie. I don't want to see any more. Star Wars fatigue. I'm done.
Keith?
I don't even like Star Wars. I like Star Trek.
Keith?
And now you see how I felt when J.J. Abrams totally destroys Star Trek. I'm done.
Keith, go ahead. What do you feel, man?
Unfortunately, I was trying to determine what my problem with the movie was, and I grudgingly admit that Barry has a small point in all of his viewing of the information there. But yeah, I have to agree about the Pirates of the Caribbean thing. God, I was trying to put my finger on what was irking me about the movie.
Yep.
And that was it. It was Pirates of the Caribbean in a nutshell. And then what's even worse about it is that I'm pretty sure on paper, the movie sounded awesome when they read it. They probably like, this is awesome. This is going to be amazing. The upsides that I liked about this and that I really liked about it were they managed to hook into the expanded universe very well. So I don't feel like everything is lost. So they decided to do a Boba Fett and all that other stuff. The fear that they completely deleted or erased all the stuff they did in the expanded universe of Star Wars is gone. That's been kind of frayed away. I mean, I'm fine with what they've done because they kind of throw enough hooks in there that you can hope for. Tarkovsky, you know, martial arts there, and the whole idea that there was this darker menace behind the Crimson Suns, and then the reveal as to who it was, it was like, oh, I didn't see that coming, and I like that. That makes sense, and it fit into it. But, and I honestly thought that the kid doing who was playing Han Solo, Ehrenreich?
Ehrenreich.
Yeah, he was. I can see why they picked him. At some point, you know, he kind of had the cocky smirk that, and in certain line deliveries, he sounded, he reminded me of Harrison Ford. But all in all, it wasn't fitting for the most part. And I don't know whose fault it was. I mean, honestly, I think the Kazdans are done. This did not need to be a Lawrence Kazdan script. It didn't feel like
it's it. Not. It's a Jerry Bruckheimer script.
It's pretty much it. I mean, it felt like he was trying to do something or capture something that they didn't understand. And then it felt like someone else cut it, so it felt more like a Marvel movie. And they were kind of bouncing across things. They didn't let the heist thing be the main focus of it. In most of these heist movies, it's the actual heist itself that's the build-up to it. Like, take Ant-Man, for instance. That's a perfect heist movie right there. Getting to that suit, like having Ant-Man get in there and training up Scott so he can get in there and do the job for the heist. In this case, that wasn't the fact. They were in a bunch of situations that they had to get out of. And they just strung them together for the heist. It didn't feel like a real heist film. It didn't feel like they were put in that manner. They were just shoehorned that whole piece in there. I was not that majorly entertained by it. I thought it was meh. Thought it was doable, but wasn't all that and everything. So those are my thoughts.
Aaliyah, so what'd you think of Solo?
Well, it's a good thing it's Memorial Day because we probably should go ahead and play taps now and give this thing a military burial. It was not good. I thought it was good for the people who've never seen Star Wars before. But anybody mm-hmm. who's a real Star Wars fan mm-hmm. is not happy with that film. Mm-hmm. And part of it is because, one, the best part of the movie was Chewie. I mean, really, to be honest, for me, I enjoyed seeing Chewie. But everybody else, I was kind of annoyed by. On top of that fact, I wasn't even really quite sure that it was really all that much happening in space, except for the time when they were actually on the ship. It looked more like it was just happening somewhere in the Middle East because it was just a whole bunch of sand. I really wasn't impressed all that much with the script, to be honest. Han Solo was also a bit sappy. I mean, this is the guy that didn't say, I love you to Leia, but he's like cavorting all over the galaxy to get back to this one girl. I don't know. I wasn't all that impressed.
Oh, no, you know. Oh, no, you know.
I guess I do know. So, No.
Hey, everybody. Han Solo here.
All right. So, Mike, what do you think about Solo?
So, I was the one person who did not see the movie. But you all know Packy. Shout out to Darth Castle. He is literally like the biggest Star Wars fan on the planet that I know. Mm-hmm. Han Solo is hands down his absolute favorite character next to Darth Vader.
Oh, my God.
He has been clamoring for this movie, and it is going on, what, Memorial Day Monday, and I have not heard a single word, text, or peep from him about this movie, which lets me know that this movie must be terrible, because I have not heard not one thing yet, and I haven't heard anything good about the movie, and clearly y'all haven't said anything good about it yet either, so the numbers weren't good. The critics have said it's not good. The fans say it's not good. I'll get to the Boba Fett thing later. And now, I don't even know if I want to go see it now. I think I might just wait till it comes on Blu-ray or Netflix.
It's my goal.
Say with some enthusiasm.
What the hell?
I can't do this anymore, man. I really cannot do this anymore. I'm a big Star Wars fan. I can't do this anymore. Dang, I cannot do this anymore. I'm stepping away from doing any Star Wars podcast from now on. I cannot do this anymore.
No.
I can't do this anymore.
No bullshit, man. No, I can't be the only one.
This movie, oh my God. I don't know what to say.
It's okay,
James. I don't know what to say.
It's okay, man. You can do it. Just
let you it go. Said everything. Does not seem like a Star Wars movie, man.
Just let it go, James.
The only thing that's positive about this movie are two things, in my opinion. Donald Glover and Woody Harrelson.
Donald Glover was trying.
Him being as Lando was a good choice.
Like, yeah.
I don't want to see any more offshoot Star Wars movies. I don't even want to see the next Star Wars movie.
Everything else in this movie was subpar. And I've been saying this for the longest time. You guys have heard me. I said it on a previous podcast. I'm quite sure I have. Is that I am nervous for every Star Wars film. I love the first trilogy. Second trilogy kind of grew on me. This one, it still hasn't done anything for me. And then now that they totally abolished the expanded universe, I don't even know what to feel, man. I cannot believe they're doing this shit. This movie was perhaps the worst Star Wars movie I've ever seen.
I would say that it is better than The Force Awakens. I cannot stand to watch The Force Awakens.
This is Phantom Menace level for me.
Yes.
This is bad.
Ooh, that's terrible.
Yes.
This is bad.
I would have to agree with that.
There were some things in Phantom Menace that were watchable.
Maul, Nuff said, that's it. And, that movie sucks.
And then let me tell you something. There's one thing in both of those movies that's in common.
Yeah,
exactly.
That was the scene that made me go, oh, okay.
That's the only thing that's worthy of this movie. So I'm sorry, three things. Donald Glover, Woody Harrelson, and the little peak of somebody. That's it. It was a chore to watch it. I dozed off. It was bad. I don't even. I'm totally done, man. I'm totally done. I don't.
I think you all wanted this movie to fail.
I don't think James wants Star Wars.
To do a damn real Boba Fett movie, but now I don't want you to touch that shit.
No,
don't even look at the fucking Mandalorians, man.
No, I don't think anybody wanted to fail. I think the problem is it's really Star Wars fatigue. And when Disney made the decision that they were going to do this every year moving forward for the foreseeable future,
this is not the Marvel stuff. They cannot do that.
Right. And Boba Fett should have been the first one they did. I've said that from day one. I said, if you weren't going to do this one that's just all about Darth Vader, which pretty much is the whole trilogy, but if you're going to do any other character, Boba Fett was the one to do. And they went totally opposite and didn't do that. And now they're going to try to save the franchise by giving James Mangold the reins to it. And they're going to try to turn Boba Fett into Logan, but you're not going to go that hard with it, are you? So it's probably going to fail.
That wouldn't even work.
No, it wouldn't work at all.
Boba Fett got dropped by a blind man. All right? Nobody's going to believe he's a badass after that.
Honestly, I would scrap Boba Fett and make it a Netflix series and kind of go adult with it. But, you know, that's just me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and here's the thing. They probably could do a Star Wars film once a year. But the thing about the Marvel movies, after the first phase, they start making their movies more set in genre pieces. Winter Soldier was a spy flick. I don't know what the hell Iron Man 3 was. A buddy flick, I guess. I don't know what they were trying to do with
piece
that.
Piece of shit.
It's Lethal Weapon set at Christmas time.
Yeah, the genre route with their stuff and just tied it all together and told this massive meta story. Like Star Wars, they can definitely do the same thing. And it doesn't even have to be a central scene. There's so much stuff that they can talk about. But the problem is they are stuck in that little, what is that, a 30-year time period? They don't want to touch before the Clone Wars or around that time. So it's just.
Please don't do that.
Huh?
So they don't need to do that. They don't need any more Star Wars movies.
I agree with the whole Star Wars fatigue, man. They need to wait another at least 5 years.
Mm-hmm. I think for Star Wars to succeed, it would need to have 2 years in between each movie. I don't care what movie that is, if it's the trilogy that they want to build or these offshoot stories, but
yeah, the films, I'm not in a rush to go see them anymore. I'm expecting some shit. You fucked up in school, your mom knows, and you don't want to go home and get the ass whooping. That's what I feel like. I know this isn't going to be good. And I know that me going in here, I'm basically preparing myself to be disappointed. And sometimes I come in with high expectations and I'm like, yeah, I want this shit to happen. I want this shit to be good. I want this shit to be just exceed my expectations. And every fucking time recently, it has fucking done that. I am disgusted. I'm upset. And I don't know what else to say about this shit.
The other problem is you have a bunch of directors who turn around and grew up as Star Wars fans, and then when they got the reins, decided to incorporate their own vision of what they think it should be and not sticking to what it's supposed to be, which is half the problem, too.
Ron Howard went back to what George Lucas, the way he was doing it. But even then, I'm looking at the movie, it doesn't feel like it.
Well, and remember, he had to save the movie.
I understand that two different movies, technically. One movie was supposed to be a comedy, i.e. Guardians of the Galaxy. Tonally, this movie shifts into something that's just so dour and boring, bland, uninspired, that it doesn't really matter who the lead character is. It doesn't matter if it's Han Solo. It doesn't matter if it's Chewie. It doesn't matter if it's any of the characters that you would want from Star Wars. At the heart of it, it's just not a good movie.
So when Ron Howard came in to fix it, he essentially didn't really change the stuff that they brought him in to change anyway. It's basically what you're saying.
They brought him in to finish the film.
They fired the first dude because the movie became a complete comedy and no one was happy with it.
Yeah.
And Barry, you hit it right on the head when you described this movie as in Pirates of the Caribbean and Guardians of the Galaxy. I don't know exactly what it is, but it's like some type of swashbuckler flick, like some pirate shit. I couldn't just figure it out. And when you just mentioned it, I was just, exactly, that is exactly it.
But this is a failed Pirates of the Caribbean plot line. It is. They went to Jerry Bruckheimer and was like, can you help us write the movie? And he was like, yeah, sure. Have you seen this movie called Pirates of the Caribbean, Curse of the Black Pearl? Do that.
And one other thing that I am not sure on, and maybe someone could explain to me. Like, I'm trying to understand the timeline here. Maybe I missed something because I was just so disinterested.
This is like 10 years before A New Hope. 10, 15 years before that.
Well, he looks awfully young.
Exactly.
Han Solo was 30 years old when he was doing the rebellion. By the time Return of the Jedi, it was, 10 years later? Pushing on 40.
No, that has to be wrong, because that had to be, I would say, around the Phantom Menace or...
Because the Empire was up.
The Empire was up then.
No, the Empire wasn't up when Phantom Menace was around. This is 10 years before New
Hope. Oh, yeah, you're right.
So it was like 10 years before
that. But how... No! Damn, he must have some rough-ass times, man.
My thing is that the Star Wars movies can work. I understand the whole fatigue of the franchise and everything. The problem is that they bottleneck it with these same characters, the same things, like versus the Empire, that type of thing, the same arena and everything, the same genre. They don't branch it out or anything like that. It was understandable with George Lucas because it was one director, one producer, one writer's vision of it. Instead, you got Disney behind the whole thing. And Kathleen Kennedy, I don't know what she's doing.
She's collecting a check,
basically.
It's like she's collecting a check, or she was pissed off at George Lucas for whatever reason. It's like, watch me fuck up everything you ever did. The stuff that they say is bad might have been bad. I mean, we kept saying Rogue One probably would have done better if it was just a pure war film. I'm thinking, again, Solo might have been completely different had they gone the whole comedy route. That would be the only reason to bring in Donald Glover. That whole stupid storyline with the droid, trying to get droid rights, civil rights and shit, they put way too much emphasis on that.
What?
It felt like they were going with a more comedic.
Yeah, route. So, Mike, there's a couple of political themes in this movie. There's two different ones, and none of them really fits the style of the movie. And you can tell that's what was added on, because if this was supposed to be a comedy, Han Solo is still technically supposed to be an anti-hero. He's a bad guy, but he wants to do nice things for people. This whole Lando loves a robot thing.
Right.
The droid was like all about droid rights, wanting to free the droid,
yeah,
the restraining rules off of him, and set him free. She was the Harriet Tubman of droid. And it was a she. She had a female voice. And there was a joke in that. Like, I could see from the first second, I could see, oh, this can get funny. But then it kind of went serious. And then I'm like, who did this?
It's
like,
I mean, this is equivalent to loving a mannequin. That's really what it is.
Yeah, absolutely right. They're going to have another person come in at the last minute and try to fix something. They need to step up and be like, I'm killing everything. Because this is the fourth time where it's not worked out.
I would say this, that this is the Batman v Superman for Star Wars.
I was going to ask you that.
You're not being too light. This is the fucking Green Lantern of Star Wars.
Nah, it wasn't that bad.
Fuck that. Green Lantern.
It wasn't that bad. But then again, this thing didn't have the benefit of what Rogue One had, where Rogue One, you had that 3.5 minutes of Darth Vader being glorious. Yeah, which is fucking shit up, and to kind of like say, oh damn, this is badass. Maybe one quick scene that is like, oh, made you perk up and go, what the heck's going on? On paper, it sounded like it would have worked out fantastically. A heist film, make it about a heist. You got quirky characters who are all coming together to pull this thing off, this deal off. If they don't pull it off, they all die. It gets to that point, you know, you got double crossing, you got Han Solo who's kind of picking it, he's getting in the mix of it. It was too much of his stupid backstory.
The problem is that movie studios have gotten to the point where they're like, hey, let's do a prequel for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Terminator Genesis. Did we need that movie? No. Why did we get it? Because the movie studio determined that it was time for another Terminator movie. Just like Disney said.
Just lack of creativity, man. Just lack of creativity.
Just like Disney said, we deserved another Star Wars movie. There's really no point for this movie to exist. None. This doesn't change anything Star Wars related. It doesn't open up my mind to say of all these possibilities about Han Solo. It does nothing. It does nothing other than Disney had to put this movie out. They had to, because otherwise it's a failure. They're just not going to write this movie off.
The one biggest missed opportunity was one of the questions a lot of people asked was like, did all the Jedi die? So then you got this, what was that pirate group in Imperium Sis, whatever the hell they were called? I was kind of expecting that person to turn out to be like one of the Padawans or something, who had this little underground movement against the Empire or something. And the big reveal was that she was a girl. I'm like, okay, like she's a curly haired girl. I mean, What was the big reveal? What was the, why take her mask off? Like it was some big reveal in it. What was the point? So like, yeah, five different people trying to make this movie. Each of them have his voice. You got the Kazdans putting their stamp on it. Ron Howard trying to do something. You know, Kathleen Kennedy collecting her paycheck. This is good. This is bad.
Somewhere, George Lucas is saying, what the heck did I do selling this off to people?
No, I don't think so. He said he was done. He didn't want to do it anymore. And
I understand that. He could be done, but someone can ruin your legacy.
Can't tell you how many times I've seen something where some post somebody puts up there, please come back. Like, it's a done deal. Like, it's kind of a wrap. I mean, on the one hand, I think they'll get it right in the end. Franchises come and go, and you know, they'll rise and fall based on what was put out there and everything. So hopefully they'll get it together at some point in the future, but
All right, so Barry, what is your score for Solo?
Again, there's nothing important about this movie. This movie just totally destroys the purpose of Star Wars, the purpose of Han Solo, that, again, you have one of the greatest heroes in movie history.
Outside of a Jedi, that's what you mean?
I'm talking about movie history.
Oh, movie?
You have this movie that someone decided to make. It is just so boring that nothing actually happens. What was the purpose for this movie? And then, like, Paul Bettany, still making the Marvel money, shows up. Why are you in this movie? Just for a couple of scenes. How many days were you there before you had to put the Vision makeup back on? So
yeah, that was fucked up.
I did say that though.
So for me, this movie's getting a 3. This is worse than Rogue One. This is close to The Force Awakens for me. This is totally destroying the fact that I do not want to see Star Wars again. I don't want to see it on TV. I might even want to watch Revenge of the Sith. Now, I like that movie. I hate you. The best line that was said, it was like, I hate you. It was like, you're my brother. You know what? I hate Star Wars. I'm done.
All right. So, Keith, what is your score?
So, in keeping with my tradition of taking Barry's score and doubling it at the very least, I unfortunately cannot do that with this. I wanted to like Solo, and I really wanted to because I like Donald Glover and I like Ron Howard, and I'm a huge Star Wars fan. So I'm the guy who will defend the prequels until I'm blue in the face. This movie was close to the worst movie, Star Wars film I've ever seen. And I can't blame Ron Howard for it. I blame the people above and behind the scenes. This was poorly put together. It was badly acted. The editing was shit. Not sure what the fuck they were doing with the whole Han Solo introduction scenes and all that stuff. And I got to say that actor who's playing Han Solo, I don't know what they were thinking.
You need somebody that has charisma, and he cannot do that.
He doesn't have any of the charisma for it. He is not a leading man material, put it that way, in any shape or form. I think Shia LaBeouf would have did a better job. I'm with them. Transformers Day, Shia LaBeouf would have done a better job at this than that kid did. And it's unfortunate. But there were other actors they could have picked for that role. God, who was the one, that kid from the Kingsman movies?
Talking about probably did a fantastic Taron Egerton?
Yeah. I think he would have done a better job at this.
Well, hey, he's already doing a movie like that, Robin Hood, so.
That movie seems really bad. Really bad. Jamie Foxx, what are you doing? You went from The Amazing Spider-Man 2 to this crap?
Collecting a check.
Would I watch it again? I don't even think I'd watch it again. I'm going to give this film a 5.5. I can't watch it again. I won't be watching it again. I kind of wish I remember what I gave Rogue One.
That's a really gracious score. And I'm sad.
There were some scenes I liked in it. I liked Donald Glover's character. The big reveal for the Black Sun Leader was cool.
Well, Keith, I have a question for you before you. This movie or Star Trek Into Darkness, which one?
Oh, fuck. God. That's a tough one. Maybe Into. Oh, boy. Oh, man. That's a tough question.
Did you really know?
Sounds like Into Darkness to me.
No, I really fucking hated Into Darkness. Yeah, you understand. Because we and I have unified in purpose, Into Darkness was one of the shining moments of that. Like, we both waited. If J.J. Abrams had been in that vicinity of after I left that theater, I'd have driven over there just to punch him in the face. That fucking movie was terrible.
Yep. You don't have to answer that, Keith. Just go ahead. Yo.
All right. Thank you. God, that was a tough one. Yeah, I give it a 5.5. No, fuck. I give it a 5. Now, think about it. You got me thinking about Into Darkness.
All right.
Okay. That's my score. All right. Aaliyah, what do you give? Oh, you said.
Giving it a 4. I'm giving it a 4. A point for Donald Glover, a point for Chewie, a point for the Millennium Falcon, and the point for Woody Harrelson. A 4.
I agree with that score.
I can agree with that. All right. So, Mike.
Well, since I haven't seen it, and based off what everyone's saying.
Oh, what? Hold on. Damn it. I keep forgetting you haven't seen it.
Oh, no. Well, hold on. But based off of what's been said. A point for Donald Glover, because I'm a fan. A point for Chewie, because he's classic. All right, Millennium Falcon. Did they do it justice, or was it kind of shitty?
They explained why the Millennium Falcon looked the way it does.
But either way, they explained some stuff. So that's another point. So I'll give it a 3. Sight unseen.
I love that, man.
A whole bunch of negatives because Packy didn't tell him about the movie.
Oh, see? You? Oh, no. That deducts a point. In fact, that deducts 2. It gets a 1.
No, he's right, man. Because Packy didn't even post anything on Facebook.
Yeah, he hadn't said a word. So, oh yeah, it's a 1. It is a 1.
So yeah, I give this movie a 1.
That hurts my heart, James. As much as I know that you love Star Wars, that really, really hurts my heart, man.
I give it a 1. I'm done. I don't know how to reemphasize how completely over I am of Star Wars, not just the new movies, okay? Anything before this bullshit now, I'm still good. The expanded universe, I'm good. Fan films, I'm good. As a matter of fact, I'll probably be doing a fan film again. I'll be playing a Mandalorian. Woohoo! So, I'm looking forward to that. Love so, I give this movie a 1, and I'm going to bring my score down. 1, because I just finished it. That's it. Say there were some other things that I enjoyed, but that's included into the 1. That's how I was just so disappointed in this movie. Han Solo is one of the biggest anti-heroes in cinematic history, and this is what you do. Just seemed like the person just was not very Han Solo-esque. He was forcing it. It didn't seem natural. It just seemed totally off. Leah said it best. I mean, he seemed so cavalier, not saying I love you, and then all of a sudden he's all thirsty, chasing this woman all over to do what he gotta do to see her again, and then I even married. You know, there's nothing going on there. It could be some side chick. I don't know. I mean, he maybe had another girl. How is this shit so serious that you spanning over fucking light years and shit to come back to her? Like, I don't understand. I mean, it's just I don't give a fuck. Just fuck this movie. And that's been the Beast Game Podcast. If you Oh, man.